Our next public hearing is subdivision 2006-63 Deep Branch Road LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, dividing 202.37 acres into 303 lots under the cluster development concept and located at the northwest corner of the intersection of Road 317 and Road 315. This application was also reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he had any additional comments.
Mr. Chairman, on March 13th, the applicants provided the office with an exhibit booklet. Each of you has received a copy of that. There was also the final traffic impact study report was submitted. That's a part of the record. And there was an appendices booklet submitted as part of the record. That's all I have.
All right, sir. Well, Mr. Fuquay, it appears that you've drawn a crowd again. So let's hear it.
Oh, with that introduction. Actually, for the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I represent the applicant, Deep Branch Road, LLC. I understand that there's much interest in this application, and the people who are here have been here for well over 2 hours, as you have been. And what I want to try to do is I'll try to be as concise and brief as I can. There is quite a bit of information I do need to cover, but I will try to keep it as quickly as possible. And also, for the benefit of the people who are here, I'm going to be referring to some boards to the commission. We have prepared an extra set of boards, which are set up over on this easel. So when I'm referring to something over here, we'll be showing it to you over here, so at least you'll know what I'm talking about. Although I realize a lot of you can't see it from where you're sitting, but at least you'll have some idea of what we're talking about.
And to that point, if there's any of you that want to get up and move around, if you want to walk up and look at the board, feel free to do so. Just try to be quiet about it. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Fuquay.
The applicant, Deep Branch Road, LLC, the principals of Deep Branch are Gerald Pusey and Lee Mears. Eric Wall is here with Morrison Ritchie, who will be answering any engineering questions you might have. Morrison Ritchie were the site designers and the engineers. And as was stated, there was an exhibit book and appendix submitted, which I think you gentlemen have, and also a copy of the traffic impact study that was submitted for the record. This is an application for a Deep Branch Village, which is a proposed 303 single-family lot subdivision, and it's planned and designed in accordance with the AR cluster option provisions of the zoning ordinance. The site is located approximately 2 3/4 miles east of Georgetown. It's on the north side of Peterkins Road and on the west side of Deep Branch Road. And to the west of the site is the Peterkins Branch, which borders the property, as I said, on the west. The site contains a total of 202 acres. It is mostly wooded. There are some small areas of federal jurisdictional wetlands located along the perimeter of the property, and those wetland areas will remain undisturbed. The application before you proposes 303 lots on 202 acres, which is a gross density of 1.5 lots per acre. The development will have a central water and wastewater systems. Water for domestic use and fire protection will be provided by Tidewater Utility, which, as you know, is a public utility company regulated by DENREC and the Public Service Commission. Sewer disposal will be by way of a central wastewater treatment and disposal system. That will be operated also by a regulated public utility company, Tidewater Environmental Systems. And, of course, that is in accordance with DENREC and Sussex County regulations. Based on soil studies that were prepared by Geotechnology Associates in preparing this application, DENREC's Division of Water Resources issued a statement of feasibility for this on-site central system, And that letter of feasibility from DENREC, it's dated September 26, 2006, and that is in Appendix E of the appendix book. Other utilities serving the site will be electric by Delaware Electric Co-op, telephone by Verizon, and TV and internet by MediaCom. The site is in the fire protection service area, the Georgetown Fire Company. Ambulance service is available from American Legion, Sussex Post Number 8 in Georgetown. The site is in the Indian River School District. And in general, as far as shopping and services, they would be available nearby in Georgetown and on Route 113 near Georgetown. All lot owners in the proposed development would be members of a homeowners association, which would be responsible for the enforcement of the community restrictions and covenants, the collection of assessments, which would be for the maintenance and repair of all community common areas, roadways, and recreation facilities. Streets are proposed to be private, built to Sussex County construction standards. There are two entrances proposed for the development. The primary entrance would be off of Deep Branch Road. That is located to line up with Pye Road, which is located on the east side of Deep Branch Road. Also, there's a second entrance proposed to be located on the north side of Peterkins Road. That entrance is approximately 400 feet west of the intersection of Peterkins Road with Deep Branch Road and over 600 feet east of where Peterkins Road turns to the south. Those entrances were reviewed by DLDOT as part of the traffic impact study that was prepared and submitted to DLDOT. The traffic impact study was prepared by Karens and Associates per DLDOT's directions. DLDOT reviewed the traffic impact study. They issued their review letter, which is dated January 10, 2007. It is found in Appendix I of the exhibit book. And I'll just summarize that. Basically, in order to maintain levels of service that are acceptable, per the study that was done, DLDOT would require certain improvements. They would include roadway and shoulder improvements to Deep Branch Road and to Peterkins Road. They would require a right turn westbound at the Peterkins Road entrance, which would be down there, so going to the west, a turn lane. Also, DLDOT would require shared participation in proposed intersection improvements at Route 9 and Park Avenue and at South Bedford Street and Arrow Safety Road. These are projects that are already planned and already have other developers who are participating in them, and this development would be required to participate in, again, those intersection improvements, Route 9 and Park Avenue, South Bedford Street and Arrow Safety Road. In addition to the traffic impact study, a number of other studies were performed in planning this development. They included a wetland boundary and topographic survey, which was prepared by Morris and Ritchie, a wetland delineation determination by Geotechnology Associates, and several different soil studies, which were also done by Geotechnology Associates. And copies of those studies, again, are in the appendix book in Appendix A through D. Now, as to the actual development site design, as I mentioned, there's two entrances, one off of each road. At the entrances themselves to the subdivision, the roadway would be divided, so there'd be a lane in and a lane out with a planting strip in between. There'd be landscaping located at the entrances along with a development sign identifying the development at each of the entrances. The private streets, again, would be built to Sussex County standards. There would be sidewalks located on both sides of all streets. There would be street lights located at the intersections. The streets would have shade trees planted along all the streets. And there's lots of locations for a school bus stop. We haven't indicated that on the plan. That would be coordinated with the school district. But there's, again, areas where that could be located. The core of the of the site plan is really a recreational core that's located at the center. That recreational core would contain a community center, a swimming pool, and tennis or multi-purpose courts. And then adjacent to that recreational core, there would be basically a village green, which would be a central open space, which is surrounded by woods. Along the north and the south streets that border the recreational area, there'd be designated on-street parking provided for the recreational area. In addition to that core recreational center, there'd be two tot lots or playground areas, small parks, located in the development. One would be located in the north section of the development, again, which would be a small park area, and then the other one would be located in the southern portion of the development. Okay, right there. In addition to the sidewalks that I mentioned on both sides of the street, there will be pedestrian walking and jogging trails that are located throughout the development, and that basically connects the various areas of the development and the recreational areas throughout the development. The sidewalks and the trails total approximately 10 miles within the development itself. As far as the residential design of the development, what's being proposed is three types of lots. The perimeter lots on the interior side of the development, or the western side of the development, would be 90 by 125 or 11,250 square feet. They're the pinkish color on the plot that you're looking at. And then the interior lots would be a combination of 80 by 125 foot lots, which are 10,000 square foot lots. They're the orange lots that are shown there. And 70 by 125 foot lots, which are 8,750 square feet. And they're the yellow lots that are shown on the plot. The 303 proposed lots are laid out so that the majority of the lots are adjacent to wooded community open space and have views directly adjacent to that area. The exception are a group of the lots that are really focused in this core area adjacent to the recreational facility and the village green. And again, those lots concentrate a certain density in that area with lots that back up to one another. So that also creates a variety of lots, the lots more together and the lots that are all separate and adjacent to community space. In the large open area just to the southwest of the recreational area, that would be the wastewater treatment and disposal area. I think on the plan it shows a building, which would be the wastewater treatment building, and then the area there would be used for disposal. Stormwater management would be controlled through three stormwater ponds as shown on the site plan, and with the location of those stormwater ponds will also provide attractive views to the residences that would be located adjacent to the ponds. Now, by utilizing the cluster option, Morris and Ritchie were able to design the development to create large areas of open space. And I think it's pretty significant because that is, the main purpose of the cluster ordinance. First, on the western boundary of the site, there's large buffer areas of open space which will separate the lots in the development from the wetlands and the branch that runs down there. That separation from the rear of the lots to the wetland areas averages about 100 feet. It varies, it meanders, but it's about 100 foot on average. There's places where it's closer, there's places where it's over 200 feet. Second area of open space is internally, kind of running right through the middle of the development. There's a large area of open space, which basically is a contiguous area that is, in the middle of the development. And then the third area of open space is really a perimeter buffer that runs along Peterkins Road, runs along Deep Branch Road, and then also runs along the rear of lots that are located on Deep Branch Road. separate, it's between those lots and the rear of the lots in this proposed development. All of those buffers that I mentioned will remain wooded. And these are large, contiguous wooded areas that will remain basically as they are today. The perimeter buffer is of, we consider, great significance because, number one, of course, it will visually work both ways, but it will buffer the development from the roads and from other properties, as well as creating a sense of separate private development from an internal perspective. Something a little bit unusual. It's come up in the past, and I know you're never happy about this, but there are two triangular parcels of land that are part of this parcel, and I can't explain why other than the fact that I assume that these parcels were originally part of this parcel and predated the actual location of the road through this area, and with the location of the road became disconnected to the bulk of the property. And those two triangular pieces, you can see one is on Peterkins Road and the other one is on Deep Branch Road. What we're proposing is they will remain as dedicated community open space. And in this situation, they serve a purpose more than just that they're there. Both of those are located where the basically where the entrances are to the development. So number one, they do provide an attractive visual feature to the entrance to the development, being wooded across the street, and also deal with a problem that comes up occasionally, and that is with cars leaving the development at night, particularly with headlights, basically they'll be going right into this forested area, which is part of the community. So actually, I think it's a very functional use of that land. Now, as a result of that open space design, about 50% of the existing woodlands on the site will be preserved in their natural state, which again is a fairly significant amount in terms of doing a development. And the total open space, which would include all the buffers and the recreational areas, would be a total of 115 acres, or about 57% of the total site. And that open space is broken down in the exhibit book in tab 8. It details how that is itemized in terms of its designation. As to the nature of the area, if you can put up that area map. It's a little bit hard to see this, but if you can point to the site, what we do is, what this map shows, and it's in your exhibit book, the map shows the site, and then it has lines going out showing 1 mile, 2 miles, 3 miles. But just for point of reference, the town of Georgetown is located to the northwest of the site. Again, this is southeast of Georgetown. Immediately to the west of this site is the town of Georgetown wastewater treatment plant. It gives you some perspective of where this is. That's on the other side of the branch. And then just west of the treatment plant is the Sussex Pines Country Club, and there's several surrounding residential developments in that immediate area. That includes Country Club Village, Golf Village, Fairway Oaks, and the woods at Walls Creek. And then along Deep Branch Road, which is the road going north-south, there's quite a few residential lots and homes along that area. And then south of this site, going south on Peterkins Road, are a number of existing residential developments. And as you go down that road, those developments are Hickory Haven, Blue Heron Estates, Black Creek Cove, and then when you get down to Wazoo Road, Morris Mills, located down there. So there's a number of residential lots and residential subdivisions that are in this immediate area. Now, as to compliance with the legal requirements for a subdivision, the site is in a level 4 area under the state strategies for spending plan, which, again, you're familiar with. It's very close to a level 3 area, and it's close to the town center area of Georgetown. If you can put up the this map is the future annexation map from the new Georgetown comprehensive plan, and what this is showing is again, this is the site here. This yellow line is the existing boundary of the town of Georgetown now. And what Georgetown is proposing, this area that is cross-hatched in red, is the future annexation area of the town of Georgetown. So you can see the town's plan is to come out right to this direction and actually almost touching this piece of property. So it's 2 3/4 miles from Georgetown now, and in the future, someday it's going to be a lot closer to the town of Georgetown. In fact, when this development was first conceived, Kevin McBride did meet with the town of Georgetown and actually with the state planning office to at least explore the possibility of possibly being annexed into Georgetown. And the number one, there was some issues with capacity of the town of Georgetown sewer system to be bringing in new properties. And also the state felt that that was getting too far away from where they wanted the town to indicate their future annexation areas, which was the limit right there. So it was next to us, basically was as far as the state really was interested in going at this point in time. Anyway, that's the level four area. As I said, it's in level four, but it's very close to level three in a town center. Under the county comprehensive plan, the site is designated as a low density area. And as you know, the comprehensive plan provides that one of the purposes of the low-density area is low-density single-family residential housing. And that low-density housing is limited to single-family detached homes, again, which is what's being proposed here, individual lots with single-family detached homes. Also, this is zoned AR. And again, as you know, the AR zoning district lists as one of its purposes a low-density single-family residential developments, and detached single-family dwellings on individual lots are a permitted use in the AR1 zoning district. I guess more importantly, in 2004, the county adopted what we refer to as the cluster ordinance. It's really just some various amendments to the AR zoning ordinance, but we call it the cluster ordinance. And what that did was it created the ability to reduce lot sizes in order to increase open space in AR1 subdivisions if central sewer and water are provided. And when that was done, the density was capped at 2 lots per acre. And then again, as you were very much aware, in January of 2006, the cluster ordinance was amended to provide that if the proposed development was located in the low density area, as this is, that the maximum density would be reduced by 25%, or in effect, making the maximum density 1.5 lots per acre, which basically is what we're applying for this development as. Now, my main point in reviewing that, as I've done in the past, is to basically stress that the comprehensive plan, the zoning ordinance, and the cluster ordinance all establish that subject to compliance with the subdivision ordinance, single-family subdivisions are a recognized and permitted use in the low-density AR area at a density of 1.5 lots per acre. And as of the last time I read the proposed land use plan, there's no intention of changing that. That is intended to remain, at least by the county, the law of Sussex County. Now, as far as those cluster provisions of the ordinance, as I said, I think Morris Ritchie did a fine job in designing this development to comply with that. Those requirements, basically, of course, are, number one, central water and sewer systems have to be provided, which they are here. These lots, as I said, there's 3 size lots. They have an average size of 9,380 square feet. The minimum is 8,750, so they all exceed the minimum 7,500 square foot requirement of the ordinance. The ordinance requires 30% open space. We will be providing 57% open space, or 115 acres. The 303 lots on this acreage is 1.5 lots per acre, which is the permitted density of the cluster ordinance in the low-density area. The open space provided is extensive. We have the perimeter buffers. We have contiguous wooded areas. As I mentioned, most of the lots border open space, wooded open space, and we have extensive and appropriate recreational facilities. There was an open space management plan, which was prepared and submitted. It's in tab 8 of the exhibit book. And the site design does preserve approximately 50% of the existing woodlands. The houses, again, are limited to single-family residences on single-family lots. All houses access internal road systems, and no wetlands are within any lot boundaries. And as I said, there is an extensive buffer from the wetlands. And again, these are federal jurisdictional wetlands, which do not require any buffer. You can't encroach in them, but there is no buffer required. We're going to have, again, an average of about 100 feet. In the interest of time, because I know there's going to be a lot of questions, I'll just refer to the fact that in our exhibit book, Morrison Ritchie did prepare a written summary of the plan's compliance with the cluster ordinance, and that's in tab 9 of the exhibit book. And I'm not going to read it, but there is a written summary of the plan's compliance with the Section 99.9C provisions of the subdivision ordinance, and that's in tab 6 of the exhibit book. I'm assuming you don't want me to read it, so I'll just refer to that and ask you to refer to that. I did prepare proposed conditions and findings, which I would ask you to consider. I'll give those to whoever you want me to give them to give out.
No, I think we can start those with Mr. Lang.
They're just stapled together, so we just give one.
Yes, sir.
Please. A lot of the information we're providing is in the exhibit book. I think I've kind of summarized everything as best I can. In conclusion, we believe that the design of this subdivision in utilizing and creating the open space, in preserving large areas of contiguous woodlands, in buffering the wetlands and the perimeter of the site, in establishing the extensive active and passive recreational areas, fully complies with the cluster ordinance goal of creating a total environment and design that is superior to the standard lot subdivision, which, again, is the goal of that ordinance. And with that, I think I will conclude my presentation and defer to any questions you have.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
We're not going to do this every week, are we?
Well, I don't know.
That's,
for your sake, I hope not.
I hope not, too. I read several different things in there, and let's deal with this, my favorite thing, the buffers from the wetlands. Am I correct in that you're proposing a minimum 50-foot setback in the wetlands? I thought I saw that somewhere. And
we worked up a little summary of this, and just for the benefit of everybody, let's try to. We just picked some spots to kind of show what that setback is. Wetlands is shown on here in blue, so down in this area, that's about 31 feet right where my pen is. It's 90 feet in here, about 55 feet in here, 122 feet here, 230 feet up in this area, 131 feet up in here, and I'll submit this to you so you can see what I'm referring to. And then again, it varies along here, different distances. To get to the point you're getting at, there is a close point up here where it basically comes right up to the line. The lots do not encroach into the wetlands, but the wetland, that's a the furthest east those wetlands come. There's a close point there, and then I guess the other closest point would be right about here, because I said it's about 31 feet.
Okay, thank you.
There are some areas that are within 50 feet.
And do you have a sense of what impact, if any, the airport and the flight patterns with the new runway may have on the residents of that proposed subdivision?
The in the DelDOT review, they requested that the an airport, I'm not sure what to call it, an airport use notice be provided. And we're doing that in the conditions that I submitted. That's one of the conditions that would be provided in the deeds.
And what about mosquito control? From what I understand from folks that live in that area, they'll carry you away if you're not careful. Is there any, with the stormwater management ponds that are being proposed and the wetlands that you have on there, was there any thought or consideration giving to addressing those flying?
Of course, that's a universal problem of mankind. I don't know if I can address that too precisely.
It, I think it's especially problematic in that area. I know, I'm sure some of the folks here will testify to that. That's why they wear mosquito nets and hats.
I can address it towards the stormwater management.
Yeah, if you can. Just identify yourself.
For the record, my name is Eric Wall, registered landscape architect in Delaware with Morris & Ritchie. The stormwater management ponds will be designed, as most of our ponds are, they're continuously wet, and they will be planted with the edge with a no-mow zone to keep it natural vegetation and to help with water quality. And there's also proposed fountains within the ponds, which help with the movement of water so mosquitoes don't breed there. I know it's not 100% effective, but it does help.
But you are planting the fountains?
Yes.
Okay. And I read in the material submitted, switching now to the sewer, that there's some possibility of some sewer excess capacity for this. Or are there plans to service other projects with
there's
the
no,
central?
There's no plans to service other projects. The soils, there's some soils here that were excellent soils. There's no plans for that. There's no plans for it at this time.
And could you clarify for me then that switching now to DelDOT and what they're requesting the developer contribute to?
Yeah, it's in the exhibit book, but basically they're requiring that the road, at least adjacent to the site on Peterkins Road and Deep Branch Road, that there would be resurfacing to DelDOT, whatever DelDOT requires it be resurfaced to, and that there would be, I guess what they call standard DelDOT shoulders placed on those roads, which I forget, are they 8 feet? I forget what they are. I think they're 8 feet shoulders.
Now,
ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate the fact you've been here all night. We have to. I have to listen to him now, and when he's done, we'll listen to each and every one of you. In the meantime, I need you to be quiet. Go ahead.
I mentioned the right-hand turn entrance into the Peterkins Road entrance, and then there were, as I said, there were already planned improvements done to be done. If I can find what those improvements were, if you give me 1 second. They're requiring the developer to participate in the improvements that are going to be done at the intersection of Route 9 and Park Avenue and South Bedford Street and Arrow Safety Road. Now, Arrow Safety Road's an ongoing plan project that I know the town's been dealing with for some time. I don't know the status of that or when that's going to be done, but basically, to the extent that this development impacts that, DelDOT is requiring participation in the terms of, you know, paying for part of it.
In the development of this property, would you anticipate there's going to be much in the way of heavy equipment and truck traffic on the nearby roads? Are we talking about moving a lot of materials on and off? I would assume where it's all wooded, you're going to have to be trucking in some dirt? And
I'm certainly not a construction expert, but obviously there's going to be trees removed and there's going to be grading equipment and things of that nature that would take place on most any type of construction project.
All of which could, I would assume, take a heavy toll on the roads, being Pye Lane and Peterkins Road and Deep Branch Road.
I would assume probably Deep Branch Road would probably be the main road that would be used.
And has there been any discussion between the developer and DLDOT in terms of the developer either repaving Deep Branch Road or bringing those roads up to standard?
Other than what's in the TIS review, I mean, that's the only thing DLDOT's indicated.
And that's just to your property line? Are we talking to, for example, the intersection of Springfield Road and Deep Branch Road?
As I read it, it was just along this property boundary, if I read it correctly.
Because I know, you know, my personal concern, being very familiar with this area, is that the roads are already substandard and the edges are already flaking. And seeing as how this is in a level four area, I think we're probably all pretty reassured that DLDOT doesn't intend to do anything to those roads. And my concern, and sorry if I'm editorializing, but my concern is the impact of this constructionist development on those roads and the safety of the nearby residents. The reports I get from, because I have staff that live on that road and family friends, and it's a dangerous road to start with. You know, if you're driving a car and you meet a school bus, you know, you're closing your eyes and hoping that the ditch isn't too deep. So I can't imagine with the heavy truck traffic that would be coming down there and how that would cause these roads to disintegrate.
Well, again, I mean, I would have to comment that we did do a TIS, mm-hmm. you know, per DLDOT's standards. We did the studies of all the intersections they requested. We submitted that to them. They accepted that and approved that as being done properly. And then they told us what they were going to require. So, I mean, I don't mean to, I mean, we're not trying to shirk any duty, but, I mean, we can't do more than DLDOT really is telling us to do.
Okay. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Burton.
Knowing that the site is fairly well wooded, did you mention there was a tree clearing plan, that there was a, you're going to try to
There's not a plan per se, but again, the development or the site plan is laid out. As you can see, it results in about 50% being removed and 50% being preserved.
All right. With the lots, though, there's not tree clearing preservation at all.
Now, we're actually showing that as the lots cleared. They wouldn't necessarily be cleared, but we're showing that as the lots cleared. The 50% I'm talking about would treat the lots as if they're cleared. I'm sure there'd be an attempt to preserve located trees on the lots.
Okay. You mentioned that the big area there in the, I think it's the south corner there, would be the wastewater treatment or the waste sewer treatment place.
Right.
Well, what will that look like?
The reason for that, again, is that's where the best soils are located. And the intention, it's not finalized yet.
It could be done by ribs, which could involve removing some trees, although the plan right now is to do spray in the wooded area. And really, it wouldn't, other than some very limited clearing, it really wouldn't look any different than it does now.
Is that a low area now? Is that?
That's actually the, I just know it's the best soils. I don't know what the, do you know?
I believe the stormwater basins are in the natural low areas on the site. The stormwater facility we located because of the best soils on that piece.
Now, this is the wastewater area.
The wastewater, yes.
So you would spray into a wooded area?
Yes, and the building would look like almost any other type of building right now. It could be looking like a residential building or a farm-type building. And what then what happens is that's where the water is treated, the wastewater is treated. It would be pumped and sprayed into the woods and keep the trees.
Is there a trail that goes through there? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah, we propose some sort of trail. Again, that's going to have to be worked out further when the design goes into engineering, how close that would be to the actual spray field.
And again, the spraying isn't done continually. You know, it's done periodically. And obviously with trees, the nutrients are picked up very quickly. And, in fact, you get very good tree growth in that area.
What types of houses are you proposing in here? You got three different colors. What?
Yeah, and they're just the lot sizes. There's no specific house type design or anything of that nature. I assume they would probably be more in the nature of custom built type houses. But from discussing it in general, I think we discussed about a price of around the $300,000 range, square footage, 2,250 square feet, something like that.
Okay. There's one lot that's, I don't know what this road is, but does that have a dwelling on it? It's kind of right in the middle of the... Yes.
That's an out parcel. One of the members of the Owens family owns it, and I believe they will be putting a house there. I don't know if one...
There's not a house there now.
I don't believe it exists right now, no.
Okay. I have no further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Gordy?
All my questions have been answered.
Mr. Smith?
Thank you.
We have a copy of the restrictive covenants.
We have a summary of the proposed restrictive covenants, which have been reviewed as part of the TAG comments. Yeah.
They have the ag?
Yes, they have the ag notice, the wetlands notice that's in there. And also I note that, as Mr. Fuqua stated, the proposed conditions also reference the abrogation, nuisance, easement, and non-suit covenant that Delta has required. Yeah. So all those three notices are provided for.
About a hunting notices nearby?
That one hasn't been, but it's been the commission's.
Hunting activities nearby in the restrictive covenants, is that?
It can be placed.
It's similar to the ag notice.
Just that these activities take place in this area? Yeah, that's certainly acceptable.
But the use of four-wheelers by the residents of the properties, like on the trails, are ATV-type vehicles.
Within the proposed subdivision?
Yes.
It wouldn't be permitted.
Would not be.
It would not be. The trails would be pedestrian, jogging, biking, bicycle biking, walking.
Is there a provision for parking for the residents if they wish to access the community amenities as well as the tot lot?
The way it was designed with the, and it's hard to see on the scale, but again, this recreational core area, there's on-site parking that's provided along both sides of the street in this area. So that would be the recreational parking. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. This is a blow-up of that. So here's the community center, the courts, the swimming pool. You can see on here, on the street line here, parking places provided there. The tot lot, there's nothing shown on here, but that can be provided. There's room here for to do the same thing or to do parking, so it can be located.
Given your projections, do you think that one tot lot is going to be sufficient to handle?
Well, there's actually two tot lots.
Tot lot.
There's one in the north section, one in the south section, and then in all likelihood there'd be something additional placed in that main recreational core center. We just didn't show it on here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome, sir. Mr. Lang?
My question has been answered.
Mr. Couts?
No additional questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Mr. Robertson?
No additional questions. Thanks.
All right, gentlemen, we thank you. You'll take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application.
Just for the record, Mr. Chairman, I'll submit that setback, wetland setback.
Thanks, sir. Okay, is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-63 Deep Ranch Road, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-63? Okay, and we will, before we adjourn, we will take a show of hands so we can count up, how many were here in favor and how many in opposition. So, sir, we'll start with you since you're already on your feet. You need to come up here.
Up here.
Give us your name and address, and then you can have the floor.
We need to get you on the tape, so. Let's
sure. My name is Brian Peters. My address is 23151 Peterkins Road. I'm about 400 to 500 yards from the Peterkins entrance. That's my estimate. I heard, I guess, what I would call softball questions from the commission. All the questions presumed that this was going forward. You asked about mosquito control, construction traffic. You asked about hunting notices, use of four-wheel drives inside of the development. You asked about tot lots. There was one question about traffic. And so, but that's the only question I've heard so far.
And your point is?
The question I have for the commission, as well as Mr. Fuquay, is that given that this is a level four strategies for state policies and spending of 2004 area, and given the fact that after reviewing the record, that the state of Delaware has rejected out of hand, or excuse me, objected out of hand this development, including the Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs, the Department of Transportation, the Department of Natural Resources, and all of its subdivisions, the Department of Agriculture, the Delaware Housing Authority, and the Department of Education. How come we don't have questions about the state objecting to this development, especially when you now embrace all of these agencies as part of developing your modified plan going forward?
Would you like an answer to your question, sir?
Yes.
Then stand up here and I'll give you one.
Thank
okay.
you.
First of all, land use issues are decided on the county level. The state advises us. We take that advice very seriously. The county has an ordinance, a planning and zoning ordinance, that is what we measure all these projects against. And the fact that we are asking questions about the development as if it were going forward, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to ask questions if it weren't going forward. So we need to know what the potential situation is going to be so that we can make an informed decision. And I appreciate your concern, but I'm a little disturbed by this insinuation that somehow we just shouldn't even be here. Because I've been here for over three hours tonight.
Mm-hmm.
For the fourth time this month dealing with issues like this. So I appreciate it. I would encourage you to come more often and you'd see what we do. But I assure you that all the state comments are taken seriously, very seriously. And if you hang around here long enough, you'll find out.
Okay. And how will these state comments be weighted? How will they be considered? Every state agency objected to this development.
They're part of the record. They're going to be considered.
They're on the record, sir.
As part of the record, just like everything else.
But there's not a score sheet. There's not a tally sheet somewhere that says this one gets so much and that one gets so much.
Well, I guess then I'll leave with an appeal to the commission to please tell the citizens who are here today that you will consider these objections of all those state agencies, and that you'll consider that in light of the fact that you've recently published, the council has published, these very agencies as their partners in consultation going forward into the plans that you will have public hearings on beginning April 3rd.
Okay.
That's a request.
That's not news. We've been doing that since the legislation first came down for the comprehensive plan. So.
Okay.
Yeah, consider yourselves informed. Okay, go ahead. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir. Yeah, you, red jacket.
I live on 23.3 feet.
Before you get started, come on up here and say it to the microphone, okay? Because we have a tape running, and it won't pick you up all the way back there, and it can't see you, so.
I live on 23.123 Peterkins Road, right next door to that gentleman just sat down.
Need your name again.
Gary Collins, and I'd like to turn this around.
There's one over here.
Okay. This one, I don't want to see that one. That's correct. I see this one right here. I assume this, where's Deep Branch Road right here? Is that correct? Okay. And Peterson Road? Okay. When you come down Deep Branch Road to that stop sign, you make a right, you come around a real sharp, what we call a hooking curve in Sussex County. When you get into the middle of it, when she makes a real bad hook, just as you come out of that curve, I live on 3 acres set here. My house is 220 feet off that road. about half a dozen times or more with the flow of traffic. It's already on that road, and the conditions of that road that gentleman right there just talked about, Mr. Johnson, they've gone around that curve, lost control of their vehicles, took their mailboxes out on this side of the road, which those gentlemen back there own those their mailboxes, lost control of their vehicles, come into my yard and tore my yard all to pieces. Last Monday morning, we had one do it. Come in 150 foot into my yard, and dump trenches in my yard that deep because of the condition of the roads and the heavy flow of traffic on these roads. And I don't believe that we can stand that many houses in that little dense area right there with the condition of these roads in Sussex County, which, number one, we got overpopulation again. We've got more houses, more automobiles, more people. And I got this letter in the mail in a big baggie, and these two screws were in it. Now, I'm not sure what they represent, but I thought that our county council was going to put the screws to me. But I don't believe that, because I think you people would do the right thing by us people in Sussex County, so I would like to give these to this gentleman right here. He could use them possibly, so I appreciate your time.
Okay, sir, I'm going to ask you to take a seat, okay? You know, I appreciate the... the emotion that goes with all this, but, you know, I'm not sure that that sort of thing actually helps your case. Anyway, who's next? You're done, sir. You're done. You've had your say. Who's next? Yes, sir. You back there in the dark green.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. My name's Mike Mason, and I live at 23081 Peterkins Road. Okay, just right next door to Mr. Collins.
Okay.
And I have a couple questions about this drawing, because I think there's some wetlands that were left out of there.
Okay.
And I'm also going to speak on behalf of Mr. Donald Melson, who is ill and unable to attend, and he owns a 17-acre tract that butts up to that property.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And I have a couple questions.
This shows the wetlands.
According to the law. But let me ask you a question.
True.
According to the law, all right? There's a 17-acre tract. I live, if you look at this drawing, my residence is right across the street. Because I didn't rate, I'm in the bend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Okay.
There's a 17-acre tract that goes this way.
Right.
And according to this drawing, is this drawing to scale, sir?
Yes.
Well, I guess what? You're intruding on Mr. Melson's property, according to that, the way it looks to me, because there's a wet tax ditch that runs all the way, 17 acres, all the way down across from Hickory Haven down there, and it supplies Morris Mill. That's missing on that drawing, and I don't even see Mr. Melson's property on there.
Well, Mr. Melson's property is not the subject of the public
hearing.
It's shown, it's just not labeled. If it butts up to it, then it's there, it's just not
there
labeled.
There is a stream that runs through there and it supplies Morris Mill.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And as Mr. Collins has stated, I do think that stream was left out. I don't see it on there. Maybe it's me.
Are you saying that this stream runs onto this property?
It runs through this property. It runs through this property. It runs down along this way, and it runs down the length of down Peterkin Road, down to Hickory Haven, crosses under the road, and feeds Morris Mill Pond.
Into there.
And it is deep in spots.
Okay,
because
yeah.
I've lived there for 15 years, and myself and Mr. Melson, he owns half of that tax ditch. It's called a tax ditch.
Okay. That's important, and that's why I'm asking you this one more time. Just want to make sure I understand that you are telling us that this stream is on this property and is not indicated anywhere on this drawing.
No.
Is that what you're telling me?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Okay.
I'll
try to get an answer for that.
Okay. I don't know why it's not on there, but that's why I asked him if it was the scale. Because I've known Mr. Melson for 15 years,
mm-hmm.
and we're close friends. His health can't be made
I understand. I appreciate your speaking for him. Yeah.
All right, so that is on his property for some reason. I don't know how that came about. Okay, as far as my other thing, that's all the question I have on there. I would like to make something known.
Yeah.
I used to live on a 110 by 60 lot for 23 years, raising two children,
mm-hmm.
okay, in Newcastle County. And I moved down to Sussex County to, I guess you can call it urban sprawl, whatever you want to call it. But anyway, I invested in some property down here.
and I've enjoyed life down here since I lived down here. And you can call me a transplant, whatever you want to call me, but that's the way it is. But I enjoy life down here, and I love Sussex County. But these lots, he's talking basically, in essence, 110 by 60 lots. The infrastructure, in my opinion, cannot handle those many homes. And I've been here in front of this council before when Hickory Haven was in and went in. The thing is that I don't begrudge anybody from building, developing property. But to cluster, I don't understand a cluster community. I never heard of that before, okay? But if that's in the laws, that's what it is. But it just doesn't compute. 300 homes on 200 acres does not compute in my mind. And I know you guys probably see this, but the infrastructure, you guys know what the roads is like down there. Mr. Collins, he's not exaggerating about the road conditions that occur down there. And I live in that bend. I've had my mailbox. All right, I'll give you an example. Since the county or the state approved or the school to go in, Sussex Central School to go down there, traffic has increased by about 75% going down that road. And between 7 o'clock in the morning and 8:30, it's a speedway. And we have the ruts in our lawns to prove it, okay? So to put where I live, right here, to put an entrance right there, that is an exercise in potential disaster. Because somebody's gonna get killed there.
Mm-hmm.
On that curve. And I've seen it time and time again.
I appreciate that, okay?
That's all I have to say.
Got it? Okay, thanks. Good enough. Yeah. And I'll find out about that stream here in a minute. I do want to let all of you know that I'm speaking for myself, and I know Mr. Johnson, I suspect all the commissioners have been out there. That's part of what we do when we get ready for a public hearing. Everyone's ridden those roads, and we know what that is. Not that we don't want you to tell us about it. Well, I want you to say whatever's on your mind, but I don't want you to think that we have no idea what you're talking about, okay? All right, sir, we'll start with you right here, and then we'll get another one from this side. We'll take this lady right here in the black jacket next.
My name's Richard Cox. I live at 22939 Peterkins Road. I don't live on a curb. I don't live near an entrance, but I do live on an intersection at Peterkins and Deep Branch.
Okay.
I every day look forward to seeing somebody ending up in my yard. And You
look forward to it?
Look forward to helping them out.
Charges them for parking.
You can't tell me that your life is not any more exciting than that. That you have to wait for them to run in your front yard.
No. My concern is the traffic that goes there. I mean, 60-70 miles an hour sometimes. We're going to increase that by 200-300%. Other concerns is water quality. And one of my biggest concern is the environmental nature that we have there. I mean, that's an area that I moved, transplanted from Pennsylvania into the area, and I really think it's a nice area, and I don't think it's going to improve it by approving this constitution.
If you guys would all just stop coming here, this stuff would stop happening.
That's all I have.
Doesn't work that way, though, does it? Thank you. Yes, ma'am. You're next.
Stream.
Oh, the stream. I forgot all about the stream. Excuse me for just a second. Mr. Fuquay, somebody on your team want to comment about this, about the stream situation?
Again, we've submitted as part of the exhibits of what land delineation that was done.
That's what I was going to say.
I mean, that was done by professionals. They went out and laid it out. The plots in there, what we're showing you is what it is. I don't know whether the stream isn't on this property or whether the stream is part of the wetlands that we're showing on the site. But I'll stand by the wetland delineation that we submitted to you as being legal.
Well, if there's a tax ditch or something that's on your property, it should be indicated. So if it's, I mean, there's no getting around that. I mean, that's, I understand that part. And I understand the delineation is done in accordance with the state and federal regulations about that. So
but it would have shown up on the delineation, certainly.
One would think. Okay. But if there's a mistake, I would encourage the the gentleman who's concerned about it might want to research that a little more. I don't know. I mean, you know. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Come on up.
Good evening. I'm Teresa Rogers. I live at 22457 Deep Branch Road, and I have some questions. Actually, have they taken into consideration Park Avenue, the possible closing with the expansion of the airport? Has that been taken into consideration?
I'll find out. What else have you got?
Okay, wetlands. It was my understanding that you cannot disturb wetlands.
That's correct.
They're showing on there that there are fountains in the wetlands?
No, those are in the stormwater management ponds. These are water areas that they will be creating.
It's hard to tell on that.
It is hard to tell.
Okay, because it appears as they're wet.
On that one drawing, everything's blue. Everything that's water is blue.
Okay.
You're right. But where they have those fountains and so on, they're creating that. But you're absolutely correct. They can't do anything in a wetland.
Okay, that is my understanding. Endangered species survey study, has that been done? There are eagles in the area. There are wildlife, deer.
Mm-hmm. Any Delmarva fox squirrels?
Haven't seen one of those. We did have a wolf in the area last year, though. Yeah.
Oh, Delmarva fox squirrel, shut them down quick.
Increase in crime. With this type of housing, there normally is an increase in crime, which there will be more of a demand for the state police in the area. The widening of the roads, will that sacrifice our property lines? Will they be taking property from the homeowners to widen the roads and to put in the shoulders?
I think the right-of-way that's there is probably sufficient for the work that DLDOT's asking them to do. It would be very difficult for them to just come in and take your land.
Setbacks on these type of lots. What are the property setbacks on a cluster house?
Mr. Lank, what are the setback requirements? Do you know off the top of your head?
The AR zone property, the setbacks are typically 30 front, 15 sides, and 20 rear.
And you can fit a 2,000 to 2,500 square foot house on that lot?
Two stories you could.
Two
stories, yeah, sometimes. Okay. Let me see. You mentioned hunting activity. My mother-in-law lives in the area. She has a very large parcel, 50 acres. She does allow hunting on the property. Does that mean she's not going to be allowed hunting on the property anymore?
What would reference was that the applicant, if this project were to be approved, would create a deed restriction that would reference that there are hunting activities in the area, so that's sort of a warning to the property owners that would move into that development.
Okay.
Clusters.
Oh, but that ought to set it.
I guess that was all I had.
All right, then. We thank you.
Thank you.
And I'll see if we can get, we had the Park Avenue and the endangered species. So go ahead and take a seat and we'll.
Correct.
Okay. Mr. Fuquay, someone on your team want to respond to those two issues?
Again, the traffic impact study was done per DLDOT's directions. I think that's addressed in there as far as possible road closures or changes in the future. All I can say is, I mean, our investigation, we did not discover any rare or endangered species involved in the site.
Was there, in fact, an investigation made, or was there?
As far as I know, during the PLUS process, there was, but okay. There is not a letter submitted to the, in the record in there, so I'm not positive about that.
All right, then. Okay, the blue jacket, we're on the end, and then, sir, you'll be next to me. You've been sitting up front all night. Behaving yourself.
Gentlemen, my name is David Acock. I live at 23219 Peterkins Road. Mm-hmm. I have some questions for Mr. Fuqua and you gentlemen as well.
Ask us and we'll ask him.
Okay, well, I'll direct it all to you. How's
there
that
you
sound?
Go.
All right.
That's the rule.
All right. We've already addressed the traffic on Peterkins Road, Deep Branch Road. Mm-hmm. More so Peterkins, because it's become a shortcut mm-hmm. for a lot of people. Since Sussex Central opened up, it's new. So now we have Blackwater Cove, Blue Heron, Hickory Haven, and the other houses that are along the road. I'm up at 5:30 in the morning every morning. I read my newspaper, and I watch the traffic, and it starts about 6. And it doesn't end till 7 at night. If it isn't the school kids or people going that way, because we've learned it's a shortcut, mm-hmm. it has become a road for construction trucks, a shortcut from 30 to south of Georgetown, bypassing Truck Route 9. Now, we addressed what we were going to do about the roads as per what DelDOT instructed them to do. That was to do something at Aristaple, or Safety, and Bedford. Well, that's where the new Truck Route 9 is going to go through. That's a no-brainer when they expand it. So they want them to pay for the infrastructure. Question is, now that I've made the picture a little bit clearer, I hope, the question is, what are they going to do for Deep Branch and Peterkins? Because we're going to go from what we already have, which is a zoo, to, let's just say, it's 2 cars per family. Mr. Burton over there would probably wish it was 5 cars per family. But let's just say it's 2. Let's just say it's 2. That's 600 more cars daily.
Sure is.
Coming out of that area. There'll be no turn lanes, because within this right here, DelDOT said, no thanks, we're not doing nothing for you.
This is probably a good time for me to point out, for the benefit of the gentleman who spoke earlier, that just because the state says they don't like something doesn't mean that they won't let it happen. And we are the ones who need to be hearing what you're saying about the local conditions, because I understand how you're feeling that DelDOT hasn't addressed them. The issue is, the law is, that if this development is approved, these folks have to do whatever DelDOT tells them to do. And if DelDOT doesn't tell them to fix the road, guess what?
It doesn't get
fixed. It's not going to get fixed.
Right.
And you know, who in their right mind would do that anyway?
Right.
So it's, you know, that's part of the process in all this. And I'm glad to have this information, although if you're riding out there, it's pretty obvious that it's...
Sure. Like I said, if you did a traffic survey on that road any given weekday when kids are in school.
Right.
I mean, this week is beautiful. Because the kids are gone.
Yeah, nobody's in school.
Summertime, they're
Summer's
gone.
Good, yeah.
So, you know, but 9 months of the year,
yeah.
We have this. So what are the question is, what are they going to do for the roads in our area, considering the amount of houses and the traffic that they're going to put on this road? That's the question.
If it gets approved, they're going to do whatever DelDOT makes them do.
Okay. So we're not going to take that any further, right?
Well, there's no need to, because that's what they're going to do.
Okay.
I mean, I'll ask them.
Because when any of the other projects...
Hell, that makes you do. He's going to get in the nod.
Any of the other projects, they've done nothing. There are no improvements to the road in Blackwater, Blue Heron, or Hickory Haven. None of them. Okay, we'll move on. All right, now Tidewater is going to do the water and the spray irrigation. Am I correct in reading that in here?
I believe that's what I heard them say. Yeah, they're
going to
do both. They're going to do both.
They're going to do both. Okay. All right. So question number one is, when Blackwater Cove started, I believe Arneson took that over. I think it might be Tidewater. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But we all received a letter.
Good idea.
Laying alongside of our mailbox, saying that if you didn't opt out, you had no choice. You would be Arneson or Tidewater, whoever it was. Are we going to be affected by that again?
I don't know.
In other words, we're going to do it for Blackwater, and if you don't opt out, we get the rights to give you the water on the road.
I think what that means is if you don't say no, but you can say no.
Yeah.
I think that's all.
Are we going to have to go through that again? That's question number one. Number two,
I understand, that's through the Public Service Commission, probably. I think what you're describing is probably Artesian or Tidewater. Somebody was applying for a certificate for public convenience and necessity.
That's the study, probably.
And that's through the state agency, through the Public Service Commission.
So you don't know, you wouldn't know anything.
It would depend on who, if anybody's applied for a CPCN for this property already, and how the Public Service Commission handles that.
Well, can we ask that? Have they applied?
Well, I don't think these. I don't think they're. Well, I'll find out.
Because we mentioned Tidewater. We mentioned Tidewater is going to be in here, and it does mention CPC. Okay.
Well, we'll get them. We'll find out here in a second.
Okay. And then the next part of that is the wastewater. And they're going to spray that. How close to Peterkin's branch are they going to be when they spray this in the woods?
We'll find out.
Okay. I'm not done. And that Peterson's branch, you know, is a feeder into Morris Mills. Because when Hickory Haven went in, I had two branches in the back of my property. I have 3.5 acres. I had two branches. They've gone. They disappeared when Hickory Haven was built. So that was long before a lot of this clamp down on stuff happened.
Okay.
So I just don't want to see that happen to Peterkin's branch or Brown branch, either one of them. Now, did we mention what size the lots were?
What size the lots,
lots
were? They talked about the average size being 9,000 square feet, I think, is what was said.
9,000?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're about, what is that? Not even a third of an acre, or about a third.
Yeah, it's not even about a quarter. About less than a quarter.
That's right, 22. Yeah, okay, you're right.
About a fifth.
In other words, postage stamp size.
Not very big.
Okay, fifth of an acre. Okay. What do we have an approximate cost of what these houses? Rough. Nothing concrete, just rough. Because you're in an area where houses, they go anywhere. Of course, the older one's been there. The value is more in the land than the house.
Right.
But a lot of these houses that have been there, anywhere up 15 years maybe, are anywhere from $750,000 down to maybe $400,000. So
the applicant stated $300,000, sir.
$300,000?
In that range.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, I think that's about all I had to ask.
All right, sir.
If you could ask some of the questions, I'd appreciate it.
I'm going to take care of that right now. Mr. Fuqua, you want to respond to the Tidewater?
Can I do them in reverse order?
Yeah, sure.
The lot size, it's got to be understood that the county passed the cluster ordinance. There was a reason for that. These are smaller lot sizes than perhaps were done in the other numerous subdivisions in that area. But back when those subdivisions were done, there was no cluster option. You had to build larger lots and, for the most part, had on-site septic systems. The reason for the cluster ordinance, the smaller lots, was to create the open space, in this case, 110 acres of open space. What it amounted to was, rather than just having large lots with private open space, you have smaller lots with large areas of community open space. So that's the lot size. The spray area, again, as we mentioned, is this area right here. We have a buffer from the branch, and in fact, there will be a double row of houses within this development that would separate the spray area from the branch. So I think it's not only buffered, but it's actually separated by the residences that would be located in the subdivision.
Just taking a guess, when I ask one of your engineering friends here, because they do the numbers, how far? The man was asking the distance. I'd like to give him an answer. Is it 100 feet, 300 feet?
To the branch?
500 feet, yeah, from the spray area.
It's probably 1,000 feet. Yeah.
Okay, about 1,000 feet from the branch is where the spray area will be. Okay. Okay.
The gentleman was mentioning about Artesian. I'm not sure what he's referring to, but I think I know what he's referring to. Back a few years ago, Artesian was playing a game where they were going out and basically declaring franchise areas and basically going to the Public Service Commission and saying,
we're going to declare this franchise area. And they sent letters to people saying, unless you opt out, you're going to be in our franchise area.
Oh, okay.
All right, I think that's what was happening. I think the Public Service Commission put a stop to it and said, that's ridiculous, you can't do that. You know, people have to come in and ask for a franchise area, not you going out grabbing these areas.
Would make sense.
But to answer the question, I think, no, Tidewater is serving our site with water and our sewer services. Okay. Doesn't bring in anyone else, unless somebody else in the future contacts them and wants to come in.
Right.
And then the last thing was about, the roads. Yeah, I'm sure there's lots of roads that need improvements in Sussex County, probably including these roads. And from what I hear tonight, which I wasn't aware of, apparently this road or these roads in this area have been used more since the new school went in. This developer, again, under the law, did the traffic impact study. We're required to do significant improvements, which is our obligation. We have to do those. They're not what we said we should do. That's what DelDOT said we should do, and we're willing to do that. Now, in all fairness, It shouldn't be placed on this development or on any development to solve problems that exist in the general population, be it a school, be it other people using the development, or again, the other numerous subdivisions located on this road. A lot of people use this road. It's a public road. DelDOT has the responsibility to solve these problems, not to put them on the burden on somebody else. We're contributing to anything we're causing. What we're doing is we're going to do improvements that basically will preserve the level of service on that road at existing standards and at intersections on existing standards. Now, I certainly understand, don't disagree, the road improvements are needed, but, you know, that's what we have DelDOT for, and that's really what the job they should be doing. So that's my response.
All right, sir. Thank you. Everyone's going to get a chance to speak, but I notice that some folks have some smaller children here with them, and we're going to take account. Or maybe they're all gone by now. But I'm going to take we're going to do a show of hands now, and then we'll resume. So real quick, all those who are in favor, put your hands up. Well, that didn't take long. We know you guys are. You got one in the back here, and two, three, four. Okay. Those of you who are here in opposition, one hand, and keep it there long enough. Keep in mind that Mr. Robertson's a lawyer, not a mathematician, so it'll take him a while. Maybe he may run out of fingers and toes.
One hand back there. I see the nice try.
We have no objection to the kids voting.
Okay.
There were two that just had to leave.
That's too bad.
Yeah, that's why we went ahead and did this now before anybody else had to leave. And I think that earlier there was, yeah, there's one little one over there. Okay.
40.
Okay, very good. And if the young children want to lay down on a bench where there's room and go to sleep, go ahead. I think I told this fellow here he could go next. So you come now, and the gentleman in the green will let you come next, and you can be on your way. Yes, sir.
Hi, John McTeer, 22852 Deep Branch Road.
Okay.
And 15 years ago, I know you guys don't need a history lesson.
Oh, go ahead.
But 15 years ago, I took every cent I had and bought 3 acres. Love it out there. It's beautiful.
Best money you ever spent.
Built my home. And, I mean, quality of life is great. I got 2 4-year-olds and an 8-year-old girl. Still afraid to go out in the road. The nature out there is gorgeous. I mean, we've got calated woodpeckers coming in my yard. I got a purple martin colony. Everything's great out there. I can't see where 300 homes are really going to help that quality of life. And big drainage problems there also. The ditches can't take the water we have there now. They're overflowing into our yards and backing up in our transformers. Big problem. The state can't fix it. Don't want to keep you all.
We're here for you. Anything else?
That's about it.
All right, sir. We thank you. Yes, sir.
My name is Elliot Rice. I live at 23067 Peterkins Road. And
Actually, I'm probably the one on the corner. Mike's my next door neighbor, but I'm actually the one really on the corner.
Okay.
A couple things that I have here is that the tax ditch that was being referenced to, if it, in fact there is a tax ditch there, my understanding is most tax ditches separate properties. One owner has half the responsibility, the other one has the other half of the responsibility. I happen to know the neighbor who butts up to this particular property, and one of the concerns that they have is that if this tax ditch does need some type of maintenance because of the subdivision going in, they're not financially able to support their half of it. So that's a concern that they have.
They won't have to.
Okay.
And it's not, it won't impact them financially. And there's a right-of-way that goes with every tax ditch on both sides of it.
Okay.
So
I just know that question hadn't been posed yet.
Well,
so.
Well, it's a good question, and I'm trying to give you a good answer.
The road maintenance with the project, I think everybody's addressed that. You guys have driven up and down the road. Our children can't go within 20 feet of that road because of the dangers that are on that road. We don't walk up and down the roads. There are a couple things here that I think are questions that I don't know how the process works real well. This is my first time being here. But if a vote is to happen, I think a vote should be postponed until some of these questions are answered to your guys' satisfaction. For example, an environmental impact study. I haven't seen one been provided. We've kind of hit on it. I think it's something we need to look at. Speed limits on the road, something I don't know what process we have to go through for that, but right now, it's terrible. And as I said, not even within 20 feet of there. Also, I'd like to know how the developers feel that their addition to the area will impact the property values of the surrounding area. I don't know if they can provide that, but any input they can give would be greatly appreciated.
I can ask them their opinion. I'm sure they have an opinion.
Sure. And then the last thing I have is that the project owners, is this going to be an open builder development, or is this going to be a development that like Beezer Homes takes and runs, or Ryan Homes or somebody like that?
We'll find out.
Okay. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you, sir. Okay. And on your concern about the speed limit on the road,
yeah,
your probably your quickest path to a solution there would be through your state representative. Those are the guys. The roads are all state issues. County's got nothing to do with regulating the roads or fixing the roads or anything. So, but your state representative, I'm sure would do whatever he or she could to help you. So, okay, Mr. Fuquay, do you have an opinion on property values, and has there been an environmental impact study done?
Well, again, an environmental impact statement is a generic term. It doesn't really mean anything specifically. There were numerous environmental studies done on this, and I'm not going to repeat everything I've already presented. This was designed in an environmentally sensitive manner. And I'll just stress again, the buffers from wetlands, which aren't required, and the preservation of the forest areas, which, again, were paramount importance in trying to design this.
Okay.
Again, the speed limit, I agree with you that that's a matter
issue.
That can
that's
be
not
dealt
your
with.
Issue. They know that.
I do agree with Mr. Reese that that perhaps some of these questions, particularly the one about the stream or the tax ditch, maybe if you do leave the record open, we can get some additional information.
Well, I rather suspect we will after what we've heard tonight. But okay. Also, he was asking if
property values.
Property values and how you it might be anticipating marketing.
Yeah, we're not that far along at this point in time. I can't honestly tell you one way or the other. The only thing I said was it was anticipated that the lot house package would probably be in the neighborhood of $300,000,
right.
Low 300 is really all. But that's, I'll be honest with you, that's an estimate. I mean, we don't know. It's what the market is going to do.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Reese, for your benefit, these things happen a couple of different ways. Sometimes the folks at this level get all the permits and then they just sell the whole thing to somebody like, you know, some national home builder or some other builder. Sometimes they sell the lots in groups to various builders, and sometimes they sell lot home packages, and sometimes they do all three. So it's really hard for us to know. And since we don't regulate that, it's not really anything that we can insist on knowing. Okay, who's next? Right up here, right up front. And then all the way in the back there with the ball cap, you're next.
My name is Dean Johnson. I live at 22929 Peterkins Road. I'm probably about 400 feet north of the intersection of Deep Branch and Peterkins. And my two concerns are the traffic issue has been raised innumerable times tonight. That is a huge issue. I have two young children, a 10-year-old, a 6-year-old, my wife and I, and then we ride our bicycles up and down the roads. We do around Pine Lane. The traffic is a severe problem, and we've kind of regulated our kids to when they're playing in our driveway, they can't go far enough to the certain distance to the road. We've had cars come around that corner, come down, lose control, go across the road in front of us, and we live on the straightaway. My biggest thing is with the property values, and in college, working with contractors, we know one of the rules of thumb was you could estimate a house at being $85 to $105 a square foot to be built. These houses at 2,200 square feet in a $300,000 range, it's only mathematically adding up to $136 a square foot, including the land that it goes on. So with our houses out there, I know that our acreage, you know, we have one of the smaller lots on that road, and it's 1.25 acres. I don't think anybody has a lot smaller than that in that area, because that's the way that, you know, previously lots were divided up. To put, you know, roughly five or the houses, 1.5 houses per acre, you're really cutting down on that, the basis that's established out there now. And my biggest concern is, you know, as a young person in this area, you know, my property values, I'm also a school teacher. I see the sizes of the classrooms, the kids in the classrooms. Adding 600 or 300 houses, bringing 300 families, maybe one-third of that have kids, two kids that are coming to the schools. The schools now, and it's not your issue, it's just something to consider. I mean, the classroom sizes now are up to 30s per teacher. You know, these developments that are going on in my area, just riding over here tonight, within 3 miles, there's 10 other developments going up that are vacant. They're not even full yet. There's maybe one or two houses sparsely built through these developments, but there's hundreds of housing sites available. And the housing market as it is, if you were to survey any realtor to find out how many houses are actually for sale in Sussex County, there's plenty of houses here vacant right now to fill by people who want to come in and support our economy, et cetera. There's no need to build more houses at this point in time. There has to be some sort of when is enough you know, attitude in Sussex County in order to kind of stop the problems that we've gotten ourselves into now with the traffic, the construction, you know, the roads, the infrastructure to handle all these people. The water tables were mentioned. You know, we are at the mercy of Mother Nature and the aquifers that supply our waters. Tapping into this, you know, the artesian is going to have to tap into our water systems in that area for, you know, 300 more houses in addition to the other 10 developments. Just something I'd like you to consider when you're mulling over the facts of tonight. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. All right, sir. All the way in the back.
How you doing? Robert Klobes, 23148 Peterkins Road.
Okay, sir.
And I'd just like to reiterate what most of my neighbors have commented on. There is a tax ditch, and that when we do get a heavy rain, it will rise 2 to 3 foot and flood that low-lying area, because my property does tie into the middle of that tax ditch. Roads, you know, same thing everybody's been saying tonight. Mm-hmm. So if you guys could just, you know, take everything into consideration. Yeah, it's a community. We're
absolutely
all here, so thank you.
I can assure you we will. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Roseanne Yonke, and I live at 23219 Peterkins Road. And what I would like to know is it possible to get Delta back out there to survey the roads again and come up with a new idea about what they really think about the roads based on the schools, you know, Sussex School being there, the other three developments, the traffic that we get on that road every day? Because certainly with 300 more houses, we're going to get much more traffic. And I am worried about that one curve that everybody is referring to. I used to walk there when I first moved there 10 years ago. I always walked against the traffic so I could see what was coming at me.
Yeah.
Because it really is very dangerous.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Let's take one from this side over here. And then, sir, you in the red jacket, you'll be next with the blue hat. Okay.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Bill Goins. I live at 22993 Deep Branch Road, probably about a quarter mile south of where this development would be. Mm-hmm. I have the same concerns everyone here has about the traffic and everything else. My biggest concern is I heard something about a level four home or group four piece
level
of property.
Four, okay, yeah, that's a...
And it's really close to a level three, and I don't know if that's a really good selling point between a three and a four. My biggest concern is this, is that there's nothing like this in the area, and if this were approved, it opens a door for the rest of everything else, the quality of life, to really go downhill. So I just don't think it's a good idea because there's nothing like it close by. Okay. All the other houses are larger, or the lots, not the houses. So that's my concern.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Fine. And you?
My name is Wayne Gibson, and I live at 22546 Deep Branch Road. And if you've been out there, you've passed my house. I got the white pines there in my front yard, and I got that bumpy stretch of road there. I've been fighting with DLDOT for 2 years, 3 years to come out there and just tar and chip the road. I cannot even get them to come out there and fix that little stretch right in front of my house there. I mean, they come out in a cold patch, and it's horrible there. And also, I'm probably, say, 100 yards north of where they're going to put this intersection. And from the corner of Peterkins Road to the end of Springfield Road is like a mile there. And it's solid, straight stretch. It's just like a drag strip through there. I cannot even get the state police to come out and monitor the road because people go up and down that road 60 miles an hour. And by them putting another road there, it's going to be a crossroads there. Then I think we're going to have a dangerous problem there. But like I said, even before this development come about, I cannot get the state police to come in. And some people share about children and the safety and so forth and so on. I know how people fly up that road in front of my house. And I cannot get the police to come out there and monitor the road. And now we're going to put another development, another crossroads there. That's a real serious concern. Okay? So those two issues. So nothing's been dwelt on. I just want to share my comment. But a couple questions that I have that I don't think they've addressed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a... drainage ditch that runs from the it's property on Deep Branch Road on other people's property that runs into this property, and they have not stated anything or addressed that issue at all. What's going to happen with that drainage ditch? And also they have not addressed the property here as far as these buffer zones to where they're going to put these lots, and I'd like answers to those two questions.
All right.
And I thank everybody for the patience.
Absolutely. Thank you. Fuquay, somebody on your team want to respond to that concern?
I wasn't sure what the second question was.
Well, the first question is, it's a drainage ditch there, and you have not addressed that drainage ditch to what's going to happen. If anything, is it going to be improved upon it as is or what? But then on this map there, you're showing the buffer zone between Deep Branch Road and your first lots there, and somewhere that drainage ditch runs all through there. And you can't tell from there what kind of
okay, just so I know
spacing
you're
talking about.
Are you talking about in here or down in here?
Top. Okay. There's a drainage ditch for these properties.
Mr. Fuquay, maybe, because I think that question's come up, maybe if you could show this so the commission can see where he's pointing to also. I'm sorry, okay. Sir, just so we can.
There's a drainage ditch on these properties on Deep Branch Road.
Okay.
That runs into this property we're talking about, okay? And that has not been addressed by this gentleman at all. And also, my second question is, from that drainage ditch back to these lots that he's showing here, what kind of spacing are we talking about as far as distance?
From back here to the back of these lots?
Yeah, somewhere, see this ditch starts up in here somewhere, and it comes on down through here, comes down through here. Property here. It also comes well down through here, and I think this is where some of these other people that are referring to
this kind of
shelter. Yeah, now we're talking.
Yeah, see this drainage area? Okay. You have not addressed any.
Well, this area here is all going to remain exactly as it is now, so that ditch will stay right where it is.
Just the way it is, no improvements at all.
It's right in the middle of this buffer area, and that buffer area is intended to stay where it is now.
thing is from that ditch. What? The distance spaces we talked about.
Mr. Blank, do you have that exhibit
feet
that had the distances?
100 feet, I would say. Well, from the ditch part, it would be probably closer to 200 feet.
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me.
Okay.
Who's next? All the way in the back. Yeah. One of you. Somebody get up here.
Yeah, my name is George Killian, 20 Haven Drive, Georgetown, Delaware. I want to say that that property, that village, it's a beautiful, but it's good for Newcastle County. It's not good for Sussex County because we're more spaced out in Sussex County. It's a more of a farmland down here. If you look at that property and go over to Long Neck and look at Tunnel's property, you'll see it's about the same thing. You know the problems they're having in Long Neck here with the traffic getting out and everything, people getting killed on 24. And it's not good for down here in Sussex County. Now, the wetlands on that there, the wetlands come across Peterkins and come down in my property. I own part of that wetlands in Hickory Haven. Mm-hmm. And you have to come down here and see that. When you tear out all these trees, all that water got to go somewhere, and it's coming down that wetland and killing the trees in the wetland. And then it goes down to Morris Pond and it pollutes that. So you just have to check that out. And all the trees are being tore down to make this project. Doesn't make sense. Didn't Ann Minner pass a law saying that you can't build any more villages in wooded areas?
I don't think it exactly says that, but there is certainly
a fair amount of legislation
out there, regarding how you.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of open ground if you want to build something like that there, a village or something, but not in a wooded area and in near wetlands anyway. But he's doing a good job. I know he's not getting paid for much of what you are doing, but you're really doing a good job, I want to say.
Well, we appreciate that, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, you're doing a good job, too, by being here and being patient. Yes, sir, all the way in the back. Great big hand in the air, waving to me. Young strapping man here, getting ready to stretch it out and tell us the tale. But tell us your name first.
My name is Michael Klobes. I live at 23268 Peterkins Road.
Yes, sir.
I live right there on the tax ditch, which is not shown.
But where is the tax ditch?
Tax ditch is not shown. Where is this thing? Will somebody show me where it is?
Yes. Going by this print right here, this would be the tax ditch because that is my grandfather's land, and he owns half of that tax ditch.
Is it on the property line you're talking about?
Right there. I would say that's his property line. That
would
be the ditch.
And that's the ditch you're saying is not shown?
This is the dark.
You're pointing
line
right to it.
I would say this would probably be that ditch.
I would say so. That's probably what that.
They own half of that.
Yeah.
So if they're going to do any kind of spraying, I would just be concerned about the runoff going into that, coming down the branch, down into the pond. That would be my guess for that branch.
Yeah, show me the. Let's see what we can. If we can all agree on this ditch here, it's either there or it's not.
I would say
this is what he's talking about. That's Peterkin's branch.
That's Peterkin's branch. That's not a tax ditch. That's a branch. Is that the idea?
Well, it's a tax ditch. Definitely a tax ditch because we own half of it, and they were supposed to come out there and clear multi years ago.
Yeah, I know. I own property on a tax ditch, too. I know exactly what you're talking about.
So, I mean, it does need to be cleared, but that's beside the point. But I would say if anything, it would be this black line you're pointing out because it runs down. This would be my grandfather's land. This would be my brother's land, Robert Close. and that ditch goes right there. There. I'm right about here.
Max bridge.
And then it crosses the road across Peterkins over
okay.
a bridge.
There's a Peterkins.
And when it floods,
okay.
there is one. It goes from 10 feet to, I say, over 100. Because where I'm at, it comes down and it arrives 3 to 4 feet and it flows through that.
Okay. Hang on for a second. Yeah. Is that a tax ditch? What you just showed us is that on a?
We are showing it as Peterkins Branch. I don't have any information about it being a certified tax.
Okay, so it's one or the other or both, and maybe it is Peterkins Branch and it's a tax ditch. Okay.
Well, that's something.
We're all talking about the same
right.
stream. Okay, go ahead.
So that would be the biggest concern there, living right down the branch, affecting our well water.
That it would flood you, yeah.
Yeah, right, and the runoff
and
from
the runoff,
this.
Yeah.
Proposed sewer that they're going to do. The other thing would be the traffic. Having a 2.5-year-old, that's a major concern now. With another 200, 300 cars times two, if you want to do that kind of math, it would be ridiculous. But I know that's not your problem. It goes back to the state representative.
Well, something we need to think about, and
definitely.
I appreciate you telling us.
And that's about it. I mean, there's a lot of other things. You know, you got the wildlife and all that, and then with this spraying. And we already have a spray facility on the other side of the tax ditch that they already pointed out. We're getting a lot pretty close area. Something to consider.
All right, sir. We thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Yes, sir. All the way in the back in the light-colored jacket. You come on up, ma'am, and then he can be next because by the time he gets here, you'll be done. Everybody, let's knock it off. I'm trying to listen to this lady up here.
Okay, I'm not a good speaker now, but my name is Charlotte Klobes. I live 23098 Peterkins Road. I live with, take care of my parents, Donald and Marion Mousen. Okay, the woods, their house is here. The woods are going to tear down is here. And all this back in here is where the branch goes behind our house. And my concern is I lost my dog. I guess it's been... like maybe a year ago. I went back into the woods. There was a big hole like this and about this tall had been dug. And I have seen bulldozers back there and all this kind of stuff. And I was wondering why.
I'll find out in a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
Because they've definitely been back there.
Okay.
And the guy across the street said they had dug wells. They had some kind of tubing?
Well, sometimes they do for testing.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to find out. We'll find out what it was.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And you're as good a speaker as has come up here tonight. So, all righty. Mr. Fuquay or somebody from your team, what we know anything about the activity out there?
All I can say is that our GTA did do soil tests.
Test holes?
Yeah. So
okay.
As far as I know, that's the only thing that's been done.
You know, those guys should cover them back up. I don't know why they leave them. Somebody's going to fall in or something. They just, I know they have to do it, but you'd think they'd fill them up. Okay. Yes, sir. Now it's your turn.
My name's Jim Orr. I live out at Haven Drive with George and the other ones. I've got three concerns. I heard this gentleman over here say that the setbacks on the side were 15 feet.
Yes,
correct.
Side yard setback,
and
typical.
If I remember right,
and I've been corrected.
Plan,
been
all
correct.
Of them are 10 feet.
I've been corrected up here at the table. I was referencing the standard AR setbacks, and the setbacks would be 25, 10, and 10 in a cluster.
In a cluster, that's right. This cluster. Is a new cluster order.
So that clarifies
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
One of the reasons I moved here is because of the clarity of the air. And I'm finding more and more developments going in, so I'm going right back where I came from.
When are you leaving?
Tomorrow. Okay. The other thing is, on this one, this map here.
Oop, careful.
Yep.
Get out there. You want to give him that, yeah.
There's homeowners right along in here, here, and over right here. I'd be very concerned with the back end of these houses here because they're out here on the street side themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're driving by, you're going to see the back end of all these houses. Because most of this, it shows trees, but a lot of those homeowners have cleaned it because it's their property. So now as I drive by, I'm going to see the back end of all this subdivision here.
They're not clearing land. I mean, it can't
That's what I'm saying. There's homeowners right here. They've cleaned and built their houses.
No, I think you need
The homeowners are up in the white part.
You got to come over to the white part.
Here's the.
Here's where the homeowners are.
Over here.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that wooded strip there. Yeah, you won't see
that.
Yeah, you'll be okay there.
Down here, I'd have a little bit of a problem.
You might.
That's my concern.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes. Let's see. It's one trip to a customer. If you've got something else to say, you need to tell somebody else. Who's next? Okay. Looks like we're done. Nobody else? Nobody else wants to speak?
Going once.
Going twice. Okay, sold. Well, let me say that we appreciate all of you being here. Anyone on the commission have any questions? We're going to close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. And
just one more than that.
Huh? Oh. What?
The state of the record, could we leave it open for any written comments?
Yeah, we're going to do that when we actually refer back to it. That'll happen at that time. So, but yeah, we can hold the record open.